You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Bayer, and this is my brother, Jonah.
We're two siblings who love to talk about our childhood and nostalgia and how it shaped us into the people we are today.
Who are pretty full of joie de vivre, if I do say so myself.
Welcome to How Did We Get Weird?
You know, Jonah, I just received a text from my good friend Jenny Binstock, and she was at LACMA, this art museum here in LA, and she saw this Picasso painting, and she texted me a picture of it, and she was like, "Does Jonah know that he looks exactly like the person in this painting?" And I said, "He sure does. In fact, he's used this painting and versions of this painting as his profile pics on social media before." Jonah, do you know what I'm talking about?
I do, yeah. So I found this painting a while ago, and I'm going to put it in the chat so our guests can see it as well. I think it's like a quite famous Picasso painting from his Blue period.
Uh-huh.
This guy's name is Sebastien Joyner Vidal. I'm probably mispronouncing it, but he was another painter who was friends with Picasso. And I guess Picasso painted him a lot, and there's a lot of photos of him, and he has like the exact same mustache as me, the same facial structure.
Yes.
It's very bizarre.
There's one called Portrait of Sebastien Joyner Vidal. We're probably really butchering the name. And that one, and he's sitting and it looks so much like you. And then you've shown me now like that there's so many different
there's a bunch
paintings. Yeah. And sketches. You sent me a sketch of him as a matador.
Yeah, there's one of a matador. You know, it's interesting because I feel like sometimes people be like, "Oh, you look like this person," and it's just like another guy with a mustache. I'm like,
right.
Well, that doesn't really look like me. We have the same kind of facial hair, but this guy really looks like me.
He really does look like you, yes. And you found a little bit of a synopsis of like this very famous painting from his Blue period called Portrait of this guy's name, Sebastien Joyner Vidal. And it says he's clearly identified in Picasso's painting due to his distinguishing frizzy hair, large forehead, and mustache. And then it says more information about him and how he and Picasso became friends. But you texted me and said, large forehead seems a bit rude. And I would agree.
Yeah, I don't really see the large forehead.
Yeah.
Personally.
And I don't think you have a large forehead, Jonah.
No, I don't think so either. But maybe I'm just too close to it. But yeah, have you ever found anyone from historically you feel like has looked like you? Because most of the time when someone says someone looks like you, like a celebrity or something, it's like usually not flattering, I feel like, in my case. Do you? Like, I've gotten Paul Giamatti before. That's not exactly what I'm going for.
Right. Right.
Do you have any historical people you've looked like?
When I first got to college freshman year, so many people told me I look like Sigourney Weaver.
Interesting.
And I didn't quite know how. I think she's beautiful, but I don't really see. That's the thing. If you have curly hair, people kind of think you look like other people with curly hair. If you'll recall, when I was little and I had short curly hair, people would always say I looked like either Shirley Temple or Orphan Annie. And actually, facially, I don't think I really look like either of them, but I just had the same hair as them.
Yeah.
So
there you go.
There it is.
What's that?
I said, there it is. Like, whoomp, there it is.
Got it. Well, maybe our guests can kind of weigh on this as well. We're so excited to have today's guest. He's a writer and musician, best known as being the lead singer and guitarist for Coheed and Cambria, also created the comic book series, The Armory Wars, and so much more. Let's give it up for Claudio Sanchez. Hey, Claudio, how's it going?
Hi, how are you?
First of all, do you think I look like this Picasso character?
Absolutely.
Because you're like a real artist too. So I'm curious, have you ever found like any historical renderings of people that people are like, oh, Claudio, this looks like you? Because you have kind of a distinctive look as well.
I'm sure someone has said something in the past, but nothing, I can't really recall anything off the top of my head. I mean, yeah.
When you're doing comics, do you like reference people you know in real life as far as like drawing characters? Because that's sort of like making art as well, kind of out of life, I guess.
Absolutely. You know, this last book I'm actually releasing, it's called My Brother's Blood Machine, and it's a horror comic, and it takes place in the 60s. And when communicating with Andrew Ritchie, the artist, I threw out the idea of musicians of the time sort of being the cast, you know, like whatever age, like certain, you know, certain characters or teenagers. So the teenage version of Joni Mitchell, the teenage version of Jim Morrison, and then there's another fella in it called Moses Early. And I thought, you know, he's a much older fella. So what would have Jimi Hendrix looked like had he been like 74 years old or something like that? So in that particular instance, you know, that story, that was a big part of casting the characters. But, you know, in the past, like I think of, you know, this is a nostalgia podcast, right? So Coheed and Cambria, for example, when I first started creating that comic in 2004, the references for those characters were Bo and Hope of Days of Our Lives.
Whoa.
And also of the Amityville Horror, James Brolin, and I forget the female, I believe the actress played Superman, Lois Lane. So those were like my references because they reminded me of younger versions of my parents, you know, like, you know, when I see pictures of my parents getting married, I was like, oh, as a kid watching Days of Our Lives, it was like, oh, wow. Like they remind me of, those are the characters that I'm going to follow, you know, if I was home from school or something, you know, Bo and Hope. Oh, they're my mom and dad, you know, so that kind of stuff.
Wow. Did you watch any other soaps? I'm just curious.
That was the one. I mean, for, you know, and just, you know, when I was home from school, you know, I just remember like, you know, Sands Through the Hourglass, So Are the Days of Our Lives, like that kind of stuff.
Right.
Those sorts of things would get ingrained in my head, you know, watching a lot of TV. And
yeah.
What were you kind of like at that age? Did you grow up in Nyack or where did you grow up?
My young, at like in the 80s, I lived in a town called Havistraw that was just north of Nyack, you know. And so at that time, you know, I my memories of that time in my life were like G.I. Joe figures. I remember stealing a Snake Eyes on the playground. That was a big moment for me because it was hard to find Snake Eyes. You couldn't find Snake Eyes anywhere. So it was like, I remember stealing Snake Eyes. I was a real asshole. but I was like, there's no way to get this character and it's sitting here in the dirt and no one's going to claim it. I'm taking it. But the other was Nintendo. Like, I remember, like, walking to school. And by the way, like, I think back now and I'm like, man, my parents shouldn't have let us walk to school alone. Because it was my brother and myself. And I believe I was in third grade or second. And he was in kindergarten. And we were walking to school alone. But we would stop at a friend's house because he had just acquired a Nintendo. And he had got the deluxe system. So it was, sorry if I'm rambling. I don't get to talk about this stuff that often. So
please.
I'm just like,
this is what it's all about.
So he had just received the deluxe Nintendo Entertainment System, which came with Rob and Gyromite. Are you guys familiar with that at all?
No. I mean, we had the classic kind of bundle with Mario Brothers Duck Hunt and the gun.
So the Nintendo, the Advantage was the controller. So it was just, okay, I got the action pack or something like that. But
okay, I'm not familiar with this version. This one had been a little more deluxe than our style.
Right, so deluxe came with Rob the Robot, and Rob would participate in the game Gyromite. So you were like this mad scientist that was running around this level, and once in a while, you'd come across a barrier that was either like red or blue, and Rob, registering it off of your television set, would know that and would grab like the red top, because it was just like this spinning top, basically, and he would drop it on like these red or blue buttons, and he would assist you through the game. And I just remember being like, wow, that's so fucking sick. Not saying that as a kid, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, those are the memories I have of like myself and my brother walking to school and stopping off at our friend's house, you know, in the morning.
How long was the walk? How far was the walk, do you think?
It was, you know, I just revisited the house. It was kind of long for our age.
Yeah.
When I think about it, you know, but yeah, you know, but we did it. My dad worked nights. So, you know, it's just what we, I guess, had to do. It wasn't far, like, you know, it was close enough that a bus wasn't appointed to our location. So,
got it.
You know, I think about it and I'm like, man, it's almost kind of the distance I would have walked if I had to high school, you know? So,
right. Is it interesting for you as a parent now to think about like telling your kids, like, oh, just go walk like at that age?
He walks nowhere alone. It's just crazy.
Wait, so just so I can be clear, would you play video games in the morning on the way to school?
Yeah, we'd stop off and we'd play. It was
how much time are you leaving yourself? Because that seems like a dangerous thing.
Well, yeah, well, we would get there, you know. So long as like our friend and his mother were cool with it, we would get there and we'd play for a little bit, and then she would drive us to school. But if it wasn't the case, then we would walk. Right.
Got okay.
it. But yeah, so we would walk across the field, which I think it was a middle school field that they had lived across the street from. And so we'd get there and we'd play for a little while. Like at the time it was Gyromite was the game. Kung Fu was the other one.
Yep.
I think he had Rygar. And these were just like, you know, at the time, right, Nintendo was impossible to acquire. I think we had like an Atari, not even a 2600, but like a 5800. You know, it was just impossible to acquire a Nintendo in the fever of that thing at the time. It was like, you know, if you had a chance to play it, you did, you know, and that was our opportunity to play it every day, I guess, was stopping at his house.
Yeah, we hit famously, we talked about a lot in this podcast.
Famously.
We won a Nintendo at a raffle at our temple when we were kids.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. And our parents wouldn't buy us one. And we won it. And then we were like, we won this. Can we have it? And they were sort of had to let us keep it.
Oh,
it was
right incredible. Up.
We got 10 tickets for $10 and we won a Nintendo.
A huge debate was deciding if we wanted to put it towards a Nintendo or the CD changer.
Oh, right.
Like a shuffler?
There was a shuffler. And I can't remember if it was like 12 or 20, but it was like, oh my God, both of these things would be incredible. Where? What should we do?
And just to kind of paint a little bit of a picture for you, Claudio, this is a Purim carnival we were at our temple. So I think we're dressed up as Queen Esther, Haman. Who else are those are like the major players?
Those are the only two I can remember.
I feel like there's someone that Queen Esther married who's like a good guy, right? And Haman's the bad guy.
I just remember those cookies.
Well, Hamantaschen, which are based on Haman's three-cornered hat, which it's like, how many corners do most hats have?
Really good point, Vanessa.
Not to take anything away from Hamantaschen. Go ahead, Jonah.
So, Claudia, were you like, when you were in high school, I think like most people would maybe assume you were really into like Rush or like a lot of progressive music, like as a kid. Like, were you into that stuff or not really? What kind of like music were you into kind of when you were like a teenager?
You know, I was into like, you know, everything. But yeah, it wasn't much of a... As far as progressive went, I mean, Jethro Tull, because my father listened to it. But, you know, growing up in high school, I mean, grunge was like a thing that was happening, metal, anything sort of contemporary rock I was pretty much into. But of course, grew up with the stuff that my mom and dad listened to, which were extremely polar opposites, where she was more of into pop music and my dad was more into like blues and jazz and classic rock and Latin music. But yeah, it wasn't until like, until I went to see Pink Floyd in 94 that I really sort of got into conceptual music.
Okay.
You know, that's like when it was like, oh, wow, like I, you know, I think that was probably a bit of that moment in time may have had something to do with the nucleus of like what I would do with my life, you know.
What are some other kind of like, we were talking in the podcast recently with someone, I was talking about seeing Green Day and like the Dookie Tour in 94, that being like a big,
I saw that.
You saw that? Yeah, I mean, where did you see that show?
I think Madison Square Garden.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I mean, were there any other shows from that era that really like stand out to you from like those kind of formative years?
The Lollapalooza festivals, particularly when Rage Against the Machine opened the festival. I don't think ever in my life had I been a part of like an energy like that. You know, standing there waiting to see them, knowing that first record was out, the songs were the songs, and then all of a sudden they hit the stage and like, you know, I think it was Randall's Island they were playing at, and the entire crowd like starts jumping like maniacally and the dust starts getting kicked up and I start to realize, oh shit, I might die in here, I gotta go.
yeah,
kind of stuff. That was one. You know, Beasties at Madison Square Garden, you know, there's like a lot of stuff. It's like hard to remember. Black Sabbath at the Beacon Theater with Dio fronting them.
Wow. So how would you get to these shows as a kid? Like, how would you get into the city?
Right. Well, that show in particular, that was the first show I'd ever gone to. So my friend Patrick and I, his mother actually drove us in.
Oh, wow.
You know, yeah, we were just about to get into high school, I think, at that time. Like Pink Floyd in 94, we went with his sister. Oh my God, I remember before that show, I remember like I hadn't listened to a Pink Floyd record ever. And I thought, oh, well, you know, I hear that, you know, if you go to a Pink Floyd show, you're supposed to do acid. Oh, you know what? Can we figure out how to get acid? I never did acid in my life. You know, I'm like, let's figure out how to get acid. I'll take two of them. You know, thank God. I mean, thank God my friend's sister had way more sense and got us nothing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, sitting there and watching that show was enough to be like inspiring and set my mind adrift. So who knows? I would probably not be here, actually.
Well, it's interesting because, like, I was really into, like, punk, like, Dead Kennedys, Black Flag, like, all that kind of stuff. And so I thought, like, Pink Floyd, this is, like, for hippie. Like, I was very closed off as to what I would listen
you
to.
You really were. Don't you couldn't bring up Fish to Jonah or you would flip yeah, out.
Like, I might flip out. No.
Yeah, I had a lot of friends who liked Fish. And I remember being like, sorry, guys, it sucks. Like, I remember just like taking on Jonah's like disdain for like, I mean, all I just,
you
stuff.
Know, it's like interesting. Yeah, at that age, sometimes, and it's like, obviously, Claudio, you're sort of like, you know, on Equal Vision for a long time, Warped Tour, like part of that world, but it's interesting. It doesn't seem like you had the same maybe closed off view as maybe I did or maybe some other people did of that era.
Yeah, you know, funny, my introduction to punk is kind of interesting because the first band that I played in high school, in middle school, high school, I was like 13, 14 years old. We would rehearse in the basement of a friend's house whose father was also a musician, but knew somebody that worked at the manufacturer, like the duplication plant of like Caroline Records. So this is how I kind of learned how to write songs. We would find copies of Legacy of Brutality on tape, Naked Reagan, Gay Bikers on Acid. And like, I would take these and I would take them home and, not knowing the material, like started to understand song structure and then would, I mean, Legacy of Brutality, I mean, was probably one of my favorite compilations of Misfit songs because I learned so much from it. And so that was like kind of the beginning of my understanding of writing music. But that was my, you know, introduction to punk music because it was like on the walls in the place we had rehearsed. I think because my parents were so very different in the stuff that they consumed, you know, my mom would like listen to Taylor Dane in the front seat and I'd hear
yes.
her singing like it. You know, and then I would like sing it in the front seat and Michael Jackson, Madonna, like some of my favorite moments are sitting in front of the TV watching like, you know, the Beat It video or Madonna's Material Girl. You know, those are the moments that I remember to me, like, you know, and I think being a part of that made me not necessarily want to be a singer, but it in a weird way sort of trained me to kind of think maybe I had the confidence to be at some time in my life.
Were you watching it with your mom?
No, just probably watching it
by yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. But most of the time it was listening to the music in the car.
Yeah.
You know, driving with her. And then my dad's side was, you know, it was like Hendrix and Sting and, you know, then it would get like Spyra Gyra and Bella Fleck and the Flecktones. And then, it, you know, Reuben Blades. It was like all over the place. But like one of my favorite songs of all time is probably Englishman in New York by Sting because he listened to it so much. Like my siblings and I, like whenever that song comes on, it's a teleporter. It brings us right back to like
our father in the car, you know?
That's how I feel with our dad about AM sports radio. really brings me back.
And he used to call in a lot.
Yeah, oh, dad really? Used to call in and get on the shows a lot.
Because he kind of had like aspirations when he was younger to be like a radio personality. So he would call in a lot. And then once when I first got on SNL, and he might have truly organized it, but I had some kind of interview with a local Cleveland AM radio station. Jonah, I don't know if you know about this. He called in too. So it was like me and my dad kind of on this show. And I had, we set it up somehow so that our dad did like his impressions on this AM radio show.
His impressions of who? Of-
like, I think he does some like impersonations. You know, he does impersonations. There's a real early newscaster that he does.
Cronkite or something?
Yeah.
Or?
Like, I think okay. he did a Cronkite impression.
I'll have to find that.
He did a couple other impressions. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know we talk a lot about our dad thinking, you know, I'd like to support it being the first Todd. He also is quite a ham. I don't know if people know that. He's among his friends, you know, the guy doing impressions and stuff like that. So he got to do them on AM radio, very full circle.
We'll try to find it for you, Claudio. We'll try to send it.
Oh, out. Right on.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with Claudio Sanchez.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from the Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
And we're back. Claudio, I had a question for you and something I've never asked you and I've wondered about for so long. I remember when I was in college, early 2000s, I went to school in Ithaca. And I remember a rumor that this band on EVR, Coheed and Cambria, was playing a show at the Teen Center there. Did you ever play a show at a teen center in Ithaca, New York, like 20 years ago? Do you not remember that at all?
Probably. I don't remember very much.
It was a long time ago, but I remember it being weird that a band on an actual label was playing this teen
right,
center.
Right.
Oh, right. Yeah, no, we would play some wild stuff. Like, you know, that's funny because before we signed to Equal Vision, I mean, all we could play were teen centers, you know, community centers, things like that. But once we got signed to EVR, you know, we found that some of the routing would take us to community centers, you know, like it happened. So I can't imagine we didn't.
Is that a thing that happens with bands now, like younger bands, do you think? Or is that just a thing that you, because I don't hear about it, but I also wonder if I'm just too old to know about what goes on.
What, like having to get in a van and and grind it out.
Like, do bands play at like a community centers, like on like their tour routings and stuff?
I don't know. I don't know if that is a thing anymore. Yeah, I'm definitely disconnected from that era of what we do and how it happens now. You know, it's so wild when I think of like I think of then, and not that this is, maybe this is just a generalization, but like, you know, I think of then and I think of the only way to do what we did was by really getting in there and sweating it out, getting in the van, going. And but now I feel like there is an opportunity to stay at home and get and create that level of, you know, with all the social sort of aspects of, you know, the world now. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure they do. They have to. You know, you want to go out there and you want to put yourself in front of people and you want to share that energy. And that's, I think, what sells it.
Now, speaking of energy, I have a question for you, Claudia. Have you ever met Bobby Moynihan? Because I think you guys have almost the same exact voice. Truly. Same accent. I think you also both have like a very nice energy. I don't know if you've ever met him, but in some ways, you guys sound so much alike.
I need to know who this is now.
It's the first thing I thought of when we started talking. Bobby Moynihan, he's an actor, comedian from SNL and many other things. At some point, you two have to meet. It's really uncanny.
Claudia, have you ever done any sort of comedy crossover stuff in your career?
No. No. It's funny. Not funny because I'm not funny, but, you know, I started like a Twitch channel and, you know, I thought it would be a good way to exercise my engaging with an audience, because that seems to be like the one thing that I really have a hard time with still now doing this 20 years in my life, like, you know, engaging an audience. Like, you know, we always curate Coheed sets to like have no like downtime, like just put a segue in there. So as little banter as possible. So I thought, you know, through the pandemic, I was like, maybe I'll start like a Twitch thing. And then, you know, I could try to get a chemistry, like a flow happening. And man, I am not good at it.
Can you explain what do you do on Twitch? Because
Taryn had a Twitch channel for a while and he played video games, and I went on it once and it was one of those video games where it was like really involved and I'm just standing against the wall moving slightly side to side because I didn't know how to and squatting a ton.
Squatting, yeah, that sounds like an interesting game. Claudia, what do you do? Like what, like when you get on Twitch, are you just like, hey guys, what's up? Or like,
hey, no, what I do is, so it's a variety of things. So yeah, I'll play games, but accompanying the games, I'll set up like, say, a drum machine and a looper pedal and sort of create a piece of music in that moment, but try to continue to do that as I play the game. So like do this multitasking of like creating a song or, you know, while playing the game, that kind of stuff. Or, you know, of recent, what I've been doing is I've been sharing my screen and showing like sort of the creative process of like, you know, putting together a song, you know, in Pro Tools or something like that.
I just came up with a joke about Twitch. Do you guys want to hear it?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
You could subscribe to Twitch and watch a bunch of people playing video games, or you could just get an older brother.
That's a really good one, Vanessa.
Because when we were growing up, Jonah kind of would play video games and I'd just have to watch, and he'd be like, your turn is next, but it never really would come. But right. I think that's the case with a lot of older brothers. That's why the joke goes, or you could just get an older brother.
Really good, Vanessa. Save that one. Do you have any stand-up gigs coming up? Probably not.
Not at the moment, but I am around if people want to book me.
So, Claudio, we really want to get into your topic. You sent us so many great ideas, and we did a lot of research on what we wanted to talk about with you, which was something I'm guessing you've never done any interviews about before, potato skins.
Yes, absolutely. Potato skins.
What are your memories of potato skins?
Potato skins got baked potato appeal because they're made with potatoes and skins that are real. That's about it. That's it, is the jingle.
That song has been in my head for the last 30 years.
Oh, right on.
We've talked about that before. Potato skins.
Potato skins have come back, I guess. Like they've been, we go get
making it. A comeback.
Well, TGIF, does that restaurant chain still exist?
I don't know, but yes.
Thank goodness it's Friday. It does. It does.
Claudia, did you ever go to TGIF growing up?
I don't think we went to TGIF. I think the only restaurant we ever frequented was Bennigan's as children. Yes, I know that TGIF bought Tato skins, and you can find them in airports across the United States.
Yes, very controversial. You know, I had a really awkward situation happen at it. Thank goodness it's Fridays growing up. I don't know if you can anyone can relate to this. I hate like being the center of attention. With birthday stuff, especially as a kid, it made me really uncomfortable. And I went there once and I was with my friends and someone told them it was my birthday.
Oh.
And so they like started coming over singing this song. This is like my
nightmare. Yeah, they make a huge deal out of birthdays there.
So I said, it's not my birthday. And they're like, okay. And then I got up my ID. I was like, no, seriously, it's not my birthday. Like, and they were so bummed. They're like, ugh. They were like mad. And my friends were like, why wouldn't you just go with it? And then I felt like I looked like the bad guy.
Oh,
but I was
no,
like, I didn't
Jonah,
ask for this.
I didn't know that happened to you. I'm so sorry. How old were you?
Yeah,
you
I haven't
think?
Thought about it in a while. It's not a topic that comes up a lot, but that's my only memory of that restaurant.
Do you remember how old you were?
I think I was old enough to have an ID, so I want to say I was probably like 16 maybe or something.
Oh.
But yeah, so Tato skins, TGIF claims that they came up with the potato skin in 1974.
Yeah, it's really interesting. A few restaurants claim ownership for this. For example, this article says, depending on who you ask, three different restaurants are credited with giving birth to the appetizer back in the early 70s. Whoa, one of these is my favorite restaurant. Oh, no, it's not. It's not. The Prime Rib restaurant in Washington. What's the one? Mountain Jack's is my favorite restaurant. They serve prime rib, but they're not called the Prime Rib restaurant. I'm so sorry. The Prime Rib restaurant in Washington, D.C., RJ Grunt's in Chicago, and Mass Market Land of Frozen Mudslides and Jack Daniel's Ribs, TGI Fridays.
Yeah, so they all claim it. You know, TGIF says, as legend has it, one of our cooks was making, this is a quote from an article, one of our cooks was making mashed potatoes in the back of the house and decided to drop in the potato skin in the fryer. When it came out, he threw our proprietary's fry seasoning on it, which I'm guessing is salt and pepper.
Just random.
Added cheddar, smoked bacon, the rest they say is history, says Matt Durbin, the chain's vice president of concept development. Okay.
Okay. He's kind of acting like it's like a Marie Curie thing where it happened by accident, but it seems like he very purposely, as legend had it, one of our cooks was making mashed potatoes and decided to put the potato skins in the fryer and then add all this stuff to it. It's like, yeah, he just made them. What's the legend behind it?
Like, it sounds oddly like the chimichanga birth. Am I wrong in that? Like burrito drops in the fryer and...
Sure.
This says the guy decided to drop it in the fryer. I just want to say that. Doesn't feel like... Okay, go ahead, Jonah. Sorry.
What's weird about it to me is I don't know how long potatoes have been around. I assume a very long time. It's just like a part of the potato, right? Like it's like...
Yeah.
It's like you can't invent like an apple skin. Like I know they're frying it. It's the way they're preparing it. But it also seems like...
Yeah.
It's already been there for thousands of years.
It's like saying you invented like sliced apple.
Right.
You're like, well, you could... And this says that they were invented in the middle of the 20th century, potato skins, after a restaurateur learned that sailors were eating vitamin-heavy potato skins to stave off illnesses. Now, what do you mean invented in the... That seems like it's why people started eating potatoes, but not potato skin. Like, it feels like all these articles are trying to really, like, make potato skins so legendary, where it's just a recipe with potatoes, right?
Sure.
Not to take away.
Claudio, here's my question to you. Like, were you going to TGI Fridays getting potato skins or Bennigan's, or did you ever have like the bag, like from the song, like that was like a snack you'd bring to school?
That was it. The bag. For me, it's like, you know, I thought it was just a potato chip variety. But, you know, as a kid, when I would eat like potatoes, like I ate the skin and I feel like my siblings were probably like, that's disgusting. But I would, and I got down with it. But then I also really liked, I don't know, I found those chips and those and like Pringles for some reason as a kid in the 80s were like my jam. And then the Keebler Elves made the Oboisies.
Yep.
Right? And I feel like that was their sort of attempt at like making a tato skin.
Yeah. I really remember for us, you know, there were those variety packs from Frito-Lay that were like Ruffles, Cheetos, Fritos.
Right.
Doritos. Those were like really tiny bags. Those I remember a lot.
Now, I'm just remembering because I looked it up. We've talked about tato skins on here before and they no longer exist. They've kind of turned into... TGI Friday's chips. They are the missing Tato skins, this other article says. So you can still get like a version of Tato skins now, but they're just called TGI Friday's potato skins.
Right. And they're normally, I find them, not that I really eat them now in life, but I do find them at airports.
You find them at airports.
They're like, yeah, they're like always like an option at the airport
now,
next to the combos.
Let me ask you this. Like, you're in a band, big band, you tour a lot. I'm sure you have a tour rider. Do you think you could put potato skins or Tato skins on your rider and they would just magically show up? Like, could you put something like that on there?
Sure, I could put it on there. I haven't. But now that you say that, maybe I will. You know, why not?
Why not?
Yeah.
What an incredible move if you put potato skins on your rider and like you showed up backstage and there's just delicious potato skins topped with, as this article says, sour cream, cheese, scallions, and bacon. And by the way, this article, I don't know who wrote this article because it's sort of like, but they said potato skins started as a quote, I don't know who they're quoting, faddish fun food entry and became a ubiquitous dish of the 1980s. They are cheap and you can load on sour cream, cheese, scallions, and bacon, as I just said. 1982, the boom years of the potato skin crazy. And then it says they started losing their appeal because they weren't exciting for chefs and visually didn't excite people, according to whom. Even though they aren't healthy, this is really interesting for you, Claudio. Even though they aren't healthy, most of the nutrients are found in the skin.
Yep.
So when your siblings were kind of giving you, you know, like, it's good that you were eating the skin because that's where the nutrients are.
So my grandfather would say all the time, eat the skin. I'm like, oh, you got it. Delicious.
Did you also know that TGIF briefly employed a potato skin mascot that was prone to giving fans the middle finger?
Oh.
Weird.
Right on.
What?
Edgy.
How did it even have hands? Okay.
Why was the potato skin TGIF mascot giving fans the middle finger? That seems...
I don't know.
Yeah.
TGIF, like, what a fun concept, but like...
Was that the restaurant that was kind of in that movie, that Jennifer Aniston movie, Office Space? Was the place she worked, was that supposed to be based on kind of like TGIF?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Where like they were always talking about you need to have more flair and like
right.
You have to put all those buttons
on. I think
on.
It was probably yeah. like a version, if not exactly, of TGI. Yeah. Our producer is saying it was a parody of TGI Fridays.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder like if TGI Fridays as an adult was as fun. Because I only remember going there maybe at oldest as a teenager. Just wanted to say one last thing. Lay's has also jumped on the potatoes masquerading as other potato products bandwagon and currently sells bacon cheddar potato skin flavored Ruffles.
Wow.
So that's another Tato Skins kind of sub for anybody who might be interested.
Do you find anyone interested in this?
Well, it seems like both of you really have a fondness for Tato Skins, almost more so than potato skins.
Yeah, I wasn't really as aware, actually, of potato skins as a thing. I felt like the Tato Skins I knew about because that commercial was so ubiquitous, right, Claudio?
Yeah, yeah. That next to Folgers in your cup, it's like jingles really. So, I mean, they sold the product. Sitting there with spiral eyes, watching He-Man and getting the messages at the end of the episodes. And then all of a sudden it was like combos. And it's like, oh, I got to get that.
Yeah.
The one that really did it for me were the stovetop stuffing commercials.
Oh, there you go.
Like, oh my God.
Those kids trying to eat like 9 dinners in one night. They're like a friend
so
having stovetop.
Weird.
And
they, like, it's like, it was like, just ask your mom to make more so you don't have to keep going to other people's houses and eating stuffing. That's so...
Stuffing also such an interesting food to like market to kids because it's a food like you really only see at Thanksgiving. I never think about stuffing like 90%
right.
of
it's
the
a,
year.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's a strange, very, very strange.
Did either of you ever have the other thing that was on the list next to Tato Skins? The chicken rondelles?
No. What are those exactly?
I do not know. But my mother would make them all the time. Like it would be like, oh, we're going to have chicken rondelles for dinner. It was basically a chicken sandwich. But I guess a chicken sandwich became as popular as it has become. But it's just like a disc. And I talk to my friends about it all the time. For some reason, I bring it up and it's just one of those things that just doesn't land because I feel like I might be the only person in the world that ate it.
It sounds very fancy.
It's not. It is not. It's just processed, like, you know, in what looks like a chicken patty, you know, like you know, puts breading on paste. It's like, you know, like a chicken nugget, basically, but in a sandwich form.
Yeah. It sounds delicious.
It is. It was actually delicious. It does sound good. And you can't find them anymore, so.
But your mom would make them?
Well, you know, like that, put it in the, like, you know, quick stuff, you know, they were working a lot. So it was like.
It came in like a box at the grocery store or something, like in the, got it.
Right. Yeah. Frozen discs, you know, kind of like a corn chicken, fake chicken thing, but.
Right.
It's supposed to be real chicken.
And would you prepare it with like anything else? Like you serve it plain or what's your...
It just, I guess, as a sandwich or maybe it? On the, as like the meat, the like main thing. It's just like you put it in the toaster oven and that's it.
Honestly, chicken rondelet sounds awesome.
Well, let's find them. Let's find them. They're so in some freezer somewhere. Real nasty.
Yeah. I mean, I do feel like you're right though, Claudio, like the advertising... Like, I think Vanessa talked about how, like, advertisers have, like, laws the way they can market to kids because it's like...
Yeah, it felt like... I asked my teacher from college who taught children in media about that, and she kind of thought I made it up.
Yeah, we're not sure if Vanessa made this up or not, but...
There are some rules. There are some rules
because it's like... It's maybe because there were less things to watch and you saw the same commercials over and over more, but it feels like those things are still so seared into our mind.
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. Tater skins got big potato appeal because they're made with potatoes.
What do you think? Do you think perhaps like a Coheed cover of that would ever see the light of day?
I may have actually said that as banter because I had nothing else to say at one point. So it's probably out there like documented as a Coheed cover.
Oh my gosh.
Oh man. I mean, yeah, jingles were so amazing at that. Here's a funny story. It's completely unrelated. So anyway, through the pandemic, I purchased on Reverb, I bought this Space Echo RE-201 unit, right? But the person that was selling it was on Roosevelt Island. I go over there to pick it up and I start talking with the fella because I noticed on his Reverb page, he was selling a bunch of stuff. And I was like, oh, are you like a studio engineer or something? And it turns out he's actually the guy that sang the jingles in the 80s.
No way.
Like, so we just get, yeah. And he starts singing like, you know, he's like one of the voices that, you know, if it wasn't Richie Havens singing the Folgers Crystals song, it was this fella.
Whoa.
Yeah, like he started singing in the middle of his lobby and I was just like, wow, you are totally the guy.
Our dad went to Syracuse and then he transferred to BU. I think when he was at Syracuse College, he went with the guy who, remember when we were growing up and there'd be like a TV, like a kind of longer, like commercial, kind of like an infomercial for something. And at the end, it would be like, just send your CEO or money, or it would be a blue screen.
Oh, right.
And it would say, send your like your money COD. Order, COD or money order.
It would say no CODs.
Yeah, no CODs, send your money. Or he had like a really weird voice. Like, and he'd be like, 555-4300. That's like that guy. Our dad knew that guy. He went to college with that guy who did all those voiceovers for those commercials. Isn't it so crazy that he went to college with that guy?
That is crazy. And I looked up what a COD is. And
yeah, what is a COD? No CODs.
Collect on delivery. So it's like you could order something and then you'd have to pay for it when they brought it to you.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Of course there's no COD.
Right.
for those products.
Yeah, can you imagine selling like records to people and being like, just pay for it. We'll just pay to press it and ship it to you. And then you can just pay us whenever you get it.
Right, yeah.
It's funny. They don't say no CODs anymore because you're like, of course not. Anyway, I repeated myself. Okay, well, we're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back with Bobby Moynihan. I'm kidding. Claudio Sanchez.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel.
celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV and be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say free this week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
So we're back, and now we're going to play a game where we bring up nostalgic products, shows, etc., that are making a comeback. And the game is called Yes, Nostalgia.
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 If you're into whatever product, etc., we bring up, you can give it a yes-stalgia. And if you're not into it, you can give it a nostalgia.
So first one off, I can kick us off.
Sure.
Hocus Pocus is getting a reboot. Hocus Pocus 2, it's getting a sequel nearly 3 decades later. This is, I guess, is a review said it's a better made film, even if it amounts to a little more than a stealth remake. And it's got Bette Midler, Sarah Jessica Parker, the stars, it seems like, of the original 30 years later. Claudia, what are your thoughts on a Hocus Pocus 2? You give that yes-stalgia, nostalgia. What are you thinking?
I'm going to give it a yes-stalgia.
Okay.
Because my wife has some sort of history with this movie, whereas I have absolutely no connection to this title at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I know some people really are find this to be like a classic kind of cult movie. I don't think I've ever seen it, but I do know that. So your wife is a big fan of the original?
I mean, yeah, I think she brings it up. You know, it gets brought up around Halloween every once in a while. You know, the Sanders sisters, is that the characters? The Sanders six, right?
Uh-huh.
So that's the only reason I know that is because of her. So
has she ever sat you down and been like, Claudia, tonight we're watching Hocus Pocus?
You know what? I believe a couple of years ago, she tried to sit myself and our son down for it. And I don't know. I don't recall us making it, you know?
Yeah, maybe Hocus Pocus 2, you two can check it out. Let us know what you think.
Double feature.
Yes. And our producer said it's the Sanderson sisters,
oh,
I guess.
It. The Colonel Sanders sisters.
You were very close. Especially for someone who's not like a huge fan of it. That's
right.
Pretty close. Yes, Bette Midler, Sarah Jessica Parker, and Kathy Najimy as absolutely fabulous Salem witch sisters.
Now keep in mind, Vanessa's in the business, so you know, obviously you don't want to alienate anyone because it's like, you know.
Well, no. I was going to say, I have a lot of friends who are huge fans of this movie. I, for some reason, like miss this movie and have watched so many parts of it on TV. Like, I don't know that I've ever watched the entire thing all the way through. But I think recently I got closest to starting watching it at the beginning. It was very successful. And I think that sometimes when movies are kind of marketed to like families, like when movies are for families and for kids and they don't talk down to them, like they actually make them have kind of high stakes and are really kind of more intense, they're more successful because they're not just kind of fluff, if you will. That's my take as whatever. So I think this movie was very successful and that people are really excited about this reboot, if not only because the three women in it are such stars and people love them so much. So I'm 100 yes nostalgia for it. If they couldn't have gotten one of the three women back, I think it would be tough to watch it. But since they, it sounds like they've got them all back, I'm in. Okay.
Right on.
Jonah, what do you think?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously everything's kind of getting rebooted these days. I think at first I was very like resistant to this and I was like kind of precious about things. And, you know, it's like, there's this new Quantum Leap. There's a Karate Kid thing. At this point, I'm just like, fine. Like, if people want to watch this and makes them happy, that's cool. Maybe it's not for me, but I'm really trying hard not to be that guy that's like, you know, it was better before. You can't remake it. So I don't have any kind of sanctity feelings about this. Sure. Why not? Yestalgia.
Yeah.
People want to see it. Go see it.
Okay. I've got this next one. This isn't really something that has gone away that's coming back, but it's coming back in a new way. Kraft mac and cheese ice cream. You know, we can all remember sitting down for the boxed macaroni and cheese. It's now coming out in the form of a savory ice cream dessert. Surprise, surprise, by Brooklyn-based Creamery Van Leeuwen. Okay, that's a little bit of a burn on them from me for being like so like, you know, look at us, we're in Brooklyn and we're being cool. Anyway,
isn't this hilarious?
Yeah, can you even believe us? We're so wild. Brooklyn, peace, love.
What's
that's
the company
not exactly
again?
Right.
I'm sorry.
But Van Leeuwen.
Oh, it's Van Leeuwen. Yeah, sorry.
Apparently, it was an instant hit, selling out within 1 hour of release on the Van Leeuwen website. Bunch of hipsters. Since then, demand for Kraft, and I want to say when I said peace and love before, that was hippies. This is more hipsters. Okay. Since then, demand for Kraft mac and cheese ice cream has grown. As described by Reddit user illathlete4963, the taste is sweet, creamy, high-quality vanilla ice cream mixed with an aggressive amount of Kraft cheese powder.
Oh.
And it has captured the attention and taste buds of many. Kraft mac and cheese ice cream is available at Walmart stores across all 50 states on a 10-week rotation, which could mean that the rollout is for a limited time only. Now, this article came out, I think, almost a year ago, so I'm not sure of the exact status right now of if you can get this Kraft mac and cheese ice cream. Van Leeuwen offers a lot of other unique flavors for hipsters like pizza, hot honey, and bourbon cherries jubilee. So there you go. What do you guys think?
I'm not fucking with it.
Judging by the faces you've been making, I'm guessing you're not a fan of this.
Yeah, I'm not fucking with that. It's just something about, sure, I'll make it for my son. And yeah, why not? That's a nostalgic like food item that will teleport me back to 1984. But in ice cream, it's just not something I can get down with. It's like, you know, I think I might put a jar of Hellman's in the freezer and eat that first.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
No, that was just disgusting. I'm sorry. I would not do that.
So you like ice cream, you like mac and cheese, you don't like them, the combo.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think they're, well, you know, when Vanessa was describing it, you know, I hear vanilla ice cream and I was curious like, oh, well, how do you implement the Kraft mac and to hear just cheese powder, the cheese powder?
Yeah.
I don't want to mess with that cheese, just the cheese powder at all. So is it like chunks of it in a cookie dough fashion?
Right.
You know, I'd have to say nostalgia.
Fair enough. I knew about this because someone I follow on Twitter, I can't remember who it is, posted like a photo of it. So it's still around. This is like a couple months ago. And I looked into it and I don't go to Walmart a lot, but you know, I live in a rural area. We have a Walmart. I go once in a while. I was looking for it and I think it would have been tough if they had it. I don't know if I would have got it. Like, part of me just wants to try it.
Yeah.
Part of me also thinks, like, doing an exclusive flavor with Walmart for, like, this Brooklyn, like, artisan ice cream thing is, like, the whole... Something about the whole, like, vibe of the promotion with Kraft seems kind of weird. I think it's something I would try, but I don't think it's something that we really need. And I think it's definitely not worth going to Walmart to get just a specific kind of ice cream. So it just seems like a lot of effort for something that I'm going to guess not a lot of payoff, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like there has been a lot of payoff because it sold out pretty quickly, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Payoff for Walmart and Van Leeuwen, yeah. They're laughing all the way to the bank. I'm saying payoff for me
you.
As the customer who's eating this ice cream that's like, this tastes like weird cheese flavored ice cream. No thanks.
Sure.
But I guess I need to try it to actually know. So maybe they should just send us some.
Well, maybe they should. I mean, it looks like our producer Olivia said it's still available. It's available now on the Van Leeuwen site. You can still buy it.
Okay.
You know, I'm mixed on this. I will say Jenny's Ice Cream sent me some ice cream a few months ago, which was very nice of them. And they sent me their like everything bagel.
Everything bagel ice cream.
Yeah. It was like everything bagel and cream cheese or something. I can't remember exactly the flavor, but it was something like that. And I was so like, oh, this is going to be gross, because it had like garlic powder in it and stuff, you know, like, and it was actually really good. My problem with ice creams like that is like, I just don't know when you're supposed to eat them, because they don't really taste like dessert, even though they're very creamy. They like are so savory that they don't, like, sometimes I have like kind of a sweet tooth after dinner or something, but I don't know that I would, the first thing I would reach out for would be Kraft mac and cheese ice cream. But I am curious. I'm curious about it. I asked Olivia, how much does it cost? Because I was like, it's probably really expensive. It's $12 for 14 ounces, which I don't know how many ounces are in a pint.
I think that's a normal container. I won't go higher than $10 for a pint of ice cream.
16 ounces in a pint.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot. Even for Van Leeuwen, I think.
So this is even less than a pint and it's $12. So I don't know. It feels, and as you were saying, Claudia, like, I can't tell if they mean like it tastes like the cheese powder or if there's actual like bits of the cheese powder in it. I mean, it's probably like,
are there little noodles in it?
Yeah. Let's see. We just got a link for it. I'm going to give this.
Doesn't have noodles. Okay.
It doesn't have noodles. Okay. I'm going to give this a nostalgia too, just because I just feel like you're making people pay kind of a lot of money for something that they might be totally grossed out by.
Right.
Yeah. And this is like also like the most corporate ice cream ever. I mean, this is like a Kraft Walmart. I mean, it's like, you know, go down.
Not friendly towards CEOs, this is not the ice cream for Jonah.
No, I've been really enjoying the Oatly ice cream.
Oh.
I get it. It's on sale, $4 a pint, oat milk. Give me some of that, you know, coffee ice cream. I mean, that's all sure. I need. I don't need this fancy macaroni and cheese or ravioli or, you know, whatever kind of ice creams are rolling out these
days. Let's chocolate or vanilla, please.
Right? Yeah, exactly. That's a round of nostalgias. Our last one is, Claudio, actually, this one you might have an interesting opinion on. This one doesn't really apply to me so much, but it's scrunchies.
Mm-hmm.
Scrunchie, like hair scrunchies?
Yes.
Hair scrunchies. I guess there's a Carrie Bradshaw that's from Sex and the City. She apparently killed the scrunchie for a decade after saying, I'm guessing on the show, she said,
yes,
no woman would be caught dead at a hip downtown restaurant wearing a scrunchie. And this article says now they are treated as a fashion trend. And this is from The Guardian. It says, quote, people love matching scrunchies to their outfits. Big designer brands are producing them, and they are used for hair health and better hair growth. Claudio, as someone who, you know, has a lot of hair, what are your thoughts on scrunchies? Have you ever rocked a scrunchie on stage? What do you think about the comeback of the scrunchies? What's going on?
Well, I mean, scrunchie makes this thing.
Okay. What is
it? This is a scrunchie, but this is a scrunchie hair tie.
Well, I just want to say, I think we're not talking as much about the brand scrunchie as actual scrunchies.
So does a scrunchie... So here's the thing is, this will pull the hell out of my hair.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, but I need to use it because, you know, there's just so much of it and it gets in the way and it's like, I can't work with my hair out, right? Only on really rocking it on stage, I guess. But a scrunchie, is it like almost like loofah texture? Like it like kind of flowery looking?
Yeah, I'm trying to find a link to scrunchies.
Like what Claudio has right now is kind of more like a thick kind of rubber bandy type.
Yeah, it's basically a rubber band.
They're talking about, yes, these more colorful, like, yeah, I guess I would say like loofah, like fabric-y looking, bigger.
A lot of times they're made of a satin, of a cotton, they're made of all different materials. There's a link in the...
Oh, there is?
There's, yes, in the chat, Claudia, if you want. A scrunchie, it's sort of like, it's like a hair band, but it has like a bunch of fabric loosely kind of scrunched around it. And they were very, very big in like the 80s and 90s. And honestly, Claudio, I think for the reasons that you've just been mentioning, you might want to invest in one. I think because they won't pull your hair and they're kind of soft. And they were a big fashion thing. Like I kind of feel like a lot of people wore them in like John Hughes movies and stuff like that. They were such a big trend for women and girls because they would hold your hair back. But, you know, they were also very visible because of the different patterns and materials and colors they came in. So, I mean, you probably don't even have to ask me. It's probably pretty obvious where I stand on this, and I'm 100% give this a yes-stalgia. I think this is a great comeback. Healthy for your hair. They're so fun. A lot of times, people will sometimes match their scrunchie to their outfit. Or like if you were lucky enough to have a parent who sewed, maybe they would make you a dress and with the extra material make you a scrunchie. okay? Or if you were taking sewing classes at Joann Fabrics like I did for a few years, like you could maybe make a scrunchie.
Did you ever make any scrunchies?
No, I made a vest and a backpack, but I'm like, why didn't I make a scrunchie? It's possible. It's possible I made one. I would think that would be harder to sew, actually, than you would think, because...
Well, you got to get the elastic part.
Yeah.
So right. I have no idea how you make one. Claudio, so what do you think? You giving this a yes-stalgia or no-stalgia?
Yes. Yes-stalgia. I'm going to buy them right when we get
off. You're going to get some right... Yeah.
There's 40 pieces of hair scrunchies for $13.99?
Oh, my gosh.
Do they take COD?
This is incredible. I wonder if they do take COD.
Claudia, I'm picturing you like next week just kicking back.
Scrunched.
Eating some Kraft mac and cheese ice cream with an orange scrunchie in your hair.
Yeah.
Matching the ice cream and just having the time of your life.
Right.
Also, I feel like people are going to go to Coheed and Cambria shows and be like, what color scrunchie will Claudio have on this city?
We're going to keywork pattern the hell out of a bunch of colored scrunchies.
Oh my gosh.
They're going to be sold right at the merch table.
Yeah, exactly. Coheed and Cambria scrunchies. That feels like it tracks.
Right. And a little bundle with like a Coheed like brush with like, you know, the keywork and dragonfly on it with matching scrunchies. You know, sky's the limit.
Oh my God.
Sky's the limit. Now, Jonah, what do you think? A yes or a nostalgia for you?
Yeah, you know, this is kind of similar to me to the Hocus Pocus one. Not something that really directly is going to affect my life, I think, a lot. But again, I'm trying to be, you know, not super negative about stuff. So, sure. Like, yeah, I think it's fine. I think if people get enjoyment out of it, that's great. I don't have a lot of hair, so I don't think I could actually use one unless I could use it as maybe like a headband.
Right. Exactly.
And so maybe I'll try that. If they come up with some type of mustache scrunchie, maybe I could look into that as well. But sure, I'll give it a yes-stalgia because why not?
And you know who could use a scrunchie?
Who's that?
Sebastian Junior Vidal.
Yes, Picasso's buddy. That guy could rock the scrunchie for
sure.
Yeah,
his hair is kind of how your hair used to look.
Yes. Well, Claudio, thanks so much for kind of indulging us. I want to say personally, Claudio, I feel like I've asked you to do many interviews and podcasts and stuff over the years. You're always such a good sport and I appreciate you participating. It's always so great to catch up with you. Where can people find you? What's going on? Anything you can promote? Anything like that?
Yeah. So, you know, all the socials are Claudio P. Sanchez. That's pretty much it. Twitter, Instagram, of course, Coheed and Cambria. I mean, really, all you have to do is put in Coheed and everything comes up. Same thing with the Twitch channel, Claudio P. Sanchez. P for Paul.
Love.
P for Paul.
But I do have a new comic coming out the end of the year, December 14th. It's called My Brother's Blood Machine. It's a horror comic. It's kind of based on this solo project I did years ago called The Prizefighter Inferno. It's like a collection of like creations I'd made on like cassette 4-tracks when I was younger. And I sort of put it into a record however many years ago. And I translated it into a comic. And so that comes out on December 14th. And it's, you know, cool. It's just a horror story about a young girl that tries to escape her abusive home, but stumbles upon two brothers who have been abandoned and think that by, you know, severing the connection between their soul and the body and giving it to God means that maybe God will correct their sort of form. But that's about it. Sorry, I'm awful at like pitching anything. So
No, that sounds great. Yeah.
Well, right on.
So where can people find that? There's just
yeah, Evil Ink Comics. That's my imprint. It's actually the first, you know, we've in the past with all of the other titles, we've partnered with Boom Studios as the like publisher. So it was always like a split venture, but this is the first time we're sort of branching out on our own. So Evil Ink is my imprint and, you know, you can find them at comic shops or online. You know, there'll be variant covers here and there, you know, all depending on who is sort of distributing it. But My Brother's Blood Machine.
Great.
All right. So yeah, everyone definitely... make sure that you check that out. That sounds so cool.
Oh, and I forgot. Coheed has a new record. That too.
Oh, right.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Vaxxis 2, A Window of the Waking Mind. So, and yeah.
And that's available wherever you get music, right?
Right. Absolutely. All your DSPs and get them on your DSPs.
But no CODs. Go ahead, Joe.
No CODs. Does not accept CODs. No CODs.
Yeah. Oh, you were going to say the same thing.
I was going to say the same thing. Yeah. You buy it. Up front, then you get it, like everything else. Anyways, that was really fun. Thanks so much to Claudio for joining us and for everyone for listening. If you enjoyed that, please subscribe to the podcast and keep an eye out for next week's episode of How Did We Get Weird, where we will discuss more stories from our childhood and cultural touchstones like potato skins or like jingles or you know,
TGI Fridays.
TGI Fridays.
Chips.
Weaver's Chicken Rondelays.
Rondelays.
Or Rondelays.
to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.